We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's begin reading in verse 7. The topic is a favorite topic of preachers, and that is paying the preacher. And at the same time, it's not always a comfortable topic in church business meetings, but this is a biblical topic. It is good and right to pay a preacher for the work that he does, and this is one of many passages in the Bible which speak of this. So let's read, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 7. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Paul said that he was being examined. He was being questioned by some of the members of the church at Corinth. And Paul, in this section, is talking about a matter of liberty. If Paul, as a preacher, wanted to be paid, if he wanted to receive pay from this congregation, that would certainly be right. But if he chose not to do that, which was the case here, then that was certainly his right as well. And Paul is making the bigger point to these Corinthians that sometimes it's better to forego something of your own benefit than it is to receive that particular benefit and in some way hinder the gospel of Christ. And so sometimes we have to give up things that are not necessarily wrong. That's what he started out talking about in chapter 8, and now he's talking about himself as a personal example of matters of liberty. So Paul in this section talks about his power, and that simply means his right to be paid if he so chose. So when you see the word power in the King James Version, think of the word right or privilege. Paul had the right to be paid as a preacher, and in this section, he gives five illustrations to prove that point. First of all, in verse 7, a soldier. He said, what soldier goes a warfare? In other words, what soldier goes to war and pays his own way? That's his point in verse 7 when he says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? What soldier pays for his own boots? What soldier pays for his own uniform? What soldier pays for his own armor? What soldier pays for his own weapons? What soldier pays for his own barracks or his own food? He's doing a job, and he deserves to be paid for that work. Now, that illustrates the work of preachers. Example or illustration number 2 is farming. He says, who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Who would plant in a field and not have some of those crops? Who would raise those crops and not eat some of them? It's right if a man is working in that capacity to enjoy the benefits of his labor. That again illustrates the point that he's talking about here. So the second illustration is the illustration of a farmer who plants in his land and he grows those crops, he harvests those crops. Wouldn't it make sense, because he's put all that work into that field, that he should eat some, at least some, of those crops? So a preacher is like a farmer in that sense. If he puts that work into sowing the seed of the kingdom, then he deserves some benefit from that. The third illustration is who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock. So this is a shepherd. This is somebody who tends a flock. We would think of cattle. In Bible times, it would probably more usually be feeding or tending a flock of goats. Who would think of having a flock of goats and taking care of them from day to day and not even drinking of some of the milk that comes from those goats? That's fair and right, and that's to be expected. Well, in the same way, a preacher is doing that kind of work, and he should be paid for that, Paul says. In verse 8, Paul said, "Say I these things as a man?" And the answer is yes. Even on the human level, we can see that it's right to pay a man when he works. But Paul said, even the law of Moses says this. "Or saith not the law the same also?" The answer again is yes. In verse 9, then, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Now, what that means is, if you're working that ox, then he deserves to eat. You don't starve an ox when he's working for you. You don't muzzle him. If you don't do that with an animal then, if you don't deny or deprive an animal of food when he's working, then you certainly don't deprive a man when he's laboring and when he's laboring here in the gospel. Doth God take care for the oxen? Obviously, the answer again is yes. So if God takes care of the oxen, then he's going to take care of these ministers. This is quoted in 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18, and there the Bible shows that elders who give specific and dedicated time to teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ are people who deserve to be paid. So Paul said, we're working together in this. Verse 10, the ones that plow and the ones that harvest are actually working toward the same end. And so this means that the ones who are paying the preacher and the preacher himself who's receiving that pay and preaching the gospel are working together. In verse 11, Paul said, this should not be a strange thing. He said, if we have sown unto you, you Corinthians, spiritual things, we've taught you the gospel. He says, is it a great thing? Should it be any surprise if we shall reap your carnal things? The word carnal there means material. Paul is saying, if we have done this spiritual work with you and we have helped you spiritually, which is the most important thing in your life, then it shouldn't be a great thing, it shouldn't be a strange thing if we're paid for that work in terms of carnal, that is, material pay. And not only that, Paul tells us something in verse 12 that gives us some information about why he chose not to be paid by these Corinthians. Verse 12, Paul said, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? So there were other ministers who had gone to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth had paid them. There were other preachers who had preached in this congregation, and the congregation had given them money for their work. Now, the interesting thing about this is that when Paul writes back in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, you find that Paul identifies who some of these people were. They were evidently these Jewish men in the church who were trying to bind the law of Moses on these people. And these Judaizing teachers had evidently taken advantage of the church at Corinth. And that had given all preachers, in a sense, a bad name. This is not fair, but it happens. It's one of those unfair things in life. In just about any line of work or occupation, there are some that don't do their job and want to be paid. What does that do for the other people who are trying to do their job? Well, it sometimes gives a black eye to everybody in that line of work, and there are people on the outside that look down upon or have suspicion upon anybody who is in that line of work. This is not good, it's not right, but it does happen. It happens in politics, It happens in the field of law. It can happen in construction work or anything else that you do. And it happens in the line of the work of a gospel preacher. And you can see how this happens. Sometimes preachers are lazy. And congregations that deal with lazy preachers, if they're not careful, develop the mindset that all preachers are lazy and that no preacher deserves to be paid. Or you can have a situation where the preacher avoids certain subjects because he knows if he preaches on certain topics that he's going to offend certain people, and because he wants to keep his job, because his money and his pay is more important to him than pleasing God, he waters down the gospel. He compromises the truth. And if he does that, then he's going to answer to God for what he has done. But what happens sometimes is that members of congregations look at preachers like that, and they begin to say that no preacher is deserving, that all preachers are like that. And, of course, in this generation, we have seen so many preachers, especially preachers on television, who have taken advantage of people and have become extraordinarily rich and wealthy. That leaves a bad taste in the mouths of many people. And sometimes people begin to look at every preacher like he's out for nothing and is interested in nothing else except money. Well, Paul realized that that was the case back in his day. And he said, rather than using this right to be paid as a preacher, in this case, I'm going to forego that. And Paul worked as a tent maker, and he also received money or support from other churches to do that work. So Paul said, even though we have this right to be paid, nevertheless, verse 12, we have not used this power or right, but we suffer all things, we endure all these things. Why, Paul? Why is it that you did not receive pay from the church at Corinth? Here's his answer. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ, because we do not want to hinder the gospel of Christ in any way, even though it would not be wrong in itself to receive pay, Paul said, we did not want to hinder the gospel. Now, that's the bigger point that he's making in chapter 8, 9, and in much of chapter 10, that there are some things that are matters of liberty, but because you don't want to hinder the gospel, it's better to sacrifice. It's better to deny yourself of that right. Now, the last illustration that Paul uses is the priest under the old law system. Verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? He's talking about the priest. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. So the Old Testament priests are a perfect example of Paul's point of working and being paid for that work. God didn't want these priests to be full-time farmers or to be full-time shepherds or to be full-time carpenters, because he had a special work laid out for them, and so the other Israelites supported them. The other Israelites gave of their own means to support these full-time workers at the temple. So in the same way, the Bible says in verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's not talking about practicing what you preach, even though that is taught in many other places. But the living that he's talking about here is making a living. If you preach the gospel, you have a right to make a living of preaching the gospel.